York streets where killers have walked like Pistol Pete and Pappy Mason. Gave the young boys admiration. Prince from Queens and Fritz from Harlem. Street legends. The drugs kept the hood from starving. Pushing cars, Nicky Barnes was the 70s. But
yo.
Hello.
Hey, welcome back to the Carolyn and Joe show. My name is Joe.
And I can't hear anything in my headphones.
Oh, you can't hear anything? Is it out? Are you just tweaking again?
Oh.
Are we back? Are we back? Are we out? Are we in? Are we out?
We're in. We're in now.
Oh, sweet.
We have a special guest.
Hey. Yes, it's true.
Hola.
Brand new.
Very first time.
Carolyn and Joe show.
Very first time on the Carolyn and Joe show. What are we going to call? Do you want to have a special name on this show? Have you ever thought about that?
You know, I did not. I wish I would have come prepared, but...
Should we just call you by your website?
Are we doing plugs? I don't have to do anything special for plugs today, huh?
You don't have to do... You can say whatever you want,
but
if you want to be...
You want. You can be anonymous, or you can totally plug yourself.
You know what? I've been known as Cadillac before.
Are you serious?
Or Thunderbolt. That seems to go well sometimes, but...
Now we have plenty of stuff to talk about,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, yeah. I think we might. So
what should we refer to you as?
Totally
Matt. On
All right, Matt. We'll call you Matt.
Yeah.
Matt, welcome to the Carolyn and Joe show, man. Thunderbolt, where does that come from? I've never actually called you Thunderbolt. There has been Fedor.
You know what? As much as I hate to say it, I think that was self-imposed.
You're like, I'm going to be Thunderbolt.
I saw someone. It happened because of the Facebook. Exactly, self-proclaimed. The Facebook does strange things, and I saw someone with a middle name that I figured their parents didn't give him. This guy's middle name was he was Dave Megatron Tyson, and I figured the Megatron was not his parents' doing.
Probably not.
What? Why not, man?
I don't know. Child of the 80s, maybe. But I was thinking, and I don't know what led me to this thought, but I thought, what goes well with my name? And Thunderbolt just kind of rolls after Matthew. Matthew Thunderbolt. I don't know. To me, it made sense.
It sounds what was the other one? There was another nickname.
Cadillac.
Where does Cadillac come from? Because you don't drive a Cadillac. I'm not sure.
I do not drive a Cadillac. Although of course, the alter ego would. I think that was from Nights of Drinking. And one of my friends thought that it rhymed well with Matt and Cadillac. Matt Cadillac.
That's one of those weird
Matt. I don't know.
Rap skewing.
Yeah, I think a rapper could
just
do
like,
it. But
not. I can't do it. I'm not a rapper.
Yeah, Cadillac
Matt. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I don't.
If
we
go in reverse, that'd be the best way. But welcome to the show, man.
Well, thank you for having me.
As you can tell. We basically will talk about anything. We're supposed to talk about culture and movies and whatever, but we end up usually just talking about ourselves because
I mean,
that's the only thing we really care
exactly.
about.
Exactly. It's the most important thing in the world, right?
That's what I care about, yeah. Man. And that's the most enjoyable part.
So do you like it when people like straight up ask you a question like, "So tell me about yourself."
Oh, I hate that the most.
Then
what I hate the most
I've gotten that so much recently. "So tell me about yourself."
What I hate about is, "So what have you been up to lately?" And like I haven't seen them in years, yeah. And I'm just like, you know, doing my thing because I can't get through the list.
You know, I was thinking about that today online, doing the online chatter and writing. That's how I type. Someone was like, or I said yo to someone because that's
like you typed yo.
That's my salutation.
Yeah, you
know, it's like yo, and it's not really yo. It's like yo 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 because I like how that looks. It looks kind of. But anyways, so I was typing that to someone and they're like, "What's up?" And then I'm like, "Nothing." And then I'm like, "What's up with you?"
And then
they're like, "Nothing."
Is this a person that you talk to all the time online? Or
yeah, and then you just start the conversation from there, you know? But it's like...
It just goes.
You have to have the nothing and then nothing.
Well, you know what I find that really happens in that type of conversation? It becomes sort of like a one-upmanship that happens. Yeah. It's sort of like, "Oh, so what you been up to? You know, I'm just... doing this movie thing." "Oh, you're doing this movie thing. Oh, I know a person that does movies and all that time." And like, you know for a fact that they don't.
Yeah.
It's like, it's like all that stuff.
Or like, "Oh, my friend does a YouTube movie or something."
And yeah.
But then it's really, then like, if you were to go look it up, it would probably be like a guy running around chasing a duck for 20 seconds.
Yeah.
One of my... Never mind, I don't have a video to show you guys.
One of my favorite experiences with this one-upmanship that people do in society is that, like, so, like, Carolyn and I, like, 2 years ago, were like, cool, we got accepted into the New York Comic Con. We're going in. And I told my friend Ben... Now, I doubt he listens to the show, but I'll tell him. But basically, so I'm like, it was like at that moment, we're at his house. I think we're watching like the intro to Lost or something like that.
Or a man walking, chasing a duck.
Yeah, or chasing a duck or something like that. Yeah. And I was like, dude, I just got, we're going to be in New York Comic Con, man. And he's like, oh yeah, I'm going to be there too, filming. And I was like, what? It's like, yeah, I'm going to be part of like G4 or something, being part of that. And so the time comes, you know, I'm like, cool, I'll see you there. And I'm, you know, calling his bluff. Yeah. So, like, we get back from New York Comic Con. Well, first, I get there, and of course, I'm looking around. Of course, I was like, maybe he might be bullshitting, but you never know. Right. Sometimes you don't know. And I get there, you know, and I don't see him anywhere.
Yeah.
I'm just not like I'm going to text him. Where are you?
Well, I was going to say, this is a friend that you're friendly enough to watch Lost with, but you're not friendly enough to have his phone number.
So I definitely have his number. Okay. It's just one of those guys that he always talks about, like, oh, yeah, I'm doing this. Yeah. But, you know,
Didn't he also say he was the boyfriend of Jessica Alba?
Yes. He was.
Wow.
He was.
I don't know how you can believe that.
But basically, what happened was it came time for me to meet up with him again after New York Comic Con.
Yeah.
And I was like, dude, I didn't see you at New York Comic Con. He's like, I didn't say I was gonna be at Comic Con.
Maybe he's a compulsive liar.
And that's what we think he is.
It's the worst liar who can't remember his lies.
Yeah.
Because then, that's not good.
But it is one.
I don't know why I even get involved at that level.
Yeah.
But I think his to us. At least that circle, his claim to fame was to be supposedly friends with Jessica Alba. Like, his story, you know, I'm nothing against him, but I always find this, like, the most incredible story to tell is that, like, you know, so he disappears for a few months, and he says, like, he's doing voiceover work for this Cartoon Network show. And he's like, Jessica Alba's on it. So we're all like, oh, this is crazy. We're going to look it up on, like, IMDb. Yeah, yeah. Of course, there's nowhere to be found.
That's, and then that's the problem with lying, you know. It's all on the internet.
The
internet
has messed up lying forever.
Internet has messed up society.
So you just check on IMDb, see that his name's not there, see that Jessica Alba's not even working on a project like that.
But yeah, exactly. But we took it to the next level. He took it to the next level. That's I find that, like, it's really an admirable trait that he went so far as to now and again... He would get like a phone call and he'd be like, oh, it's Jessica. I'm just going to go talk. And I was like, who? And he goes outside and he's talking. He could be talking to anybody, but the fact that he took it to that level.
Yeah.
You know?
That's impressive. You know what, though? So through that whole story and everything, I was listening and then you said admirable. And then I thought, is it admirable or admirable?
I don't even know, man.
Because if it's admirable, are we going to add an E before the A?
Dude, you're talking to the wrong person.
I don't know, even though I'm the writer.
I don't know.
You just invented a new word.
Admirable.
I think so. Or at least a new pronunciation.
A new pronunciation of the same word.
But so you got to give him total credit to, like, sort of go 100% in the lie. At least the lies that he remembers.
So if you checked his phone, would it have said Jessica?
He just said a number.
I don't think
like
it
we
would.
We checked it.
We don't know Jessica Alba.
But to this day, we still question it though. We're like, are you going to hang out with Jessica? It's like, oh,
If he has any connection to her, maybe he ran into her one time and in his head blew it up to be like, I'm her boyfriend or something.
Oh, I know plenty of people.
And just like made it sound like all glamorous. But in reality, he might have passed her glance once.
Yeah. What? I don't even think once.
Not
man.
Even. But, you know, I don't know. Like, so he maybe blew it up.
Did he actually do real voice work?
No.
So then why would you believe any of this?
No, but like...
I don't believe anything he says now.
But truthfully, because the fact that he believed. The fact that he believed
But you
believed
know what?
So
okay,
much.
Let's say hypothetically, what if? What if he does, like, in the future do voiceover work on a Cartoon Network show? For legitimate, real, 100% authentic.
I would think that it would be an IMDb.
It'd have to
be. No, and like, but you know, then you check on IMDb and it's like really for real, like, and then you're like, oh my god, it's really for real, and it's something that's a glamorous project.
Right. See, that's what
so
I hope.
Would that make everything?
That would corroborate the lie. Yes, I would. I would start to believe it.
But then he could like lie more and more about all these other like
and then
huge
I'd believe,
things. And
I'd probably believe up to 7 more lies, and then I'd be like, "Wait a minute!"
But see, nothing.
I just think he's a compulsive liar.
But like, see, like nothing against him. But he's one of those guys where if something like this really does happen, you're like, yes, dude, he got one. He's like, he's getting the, you know what I mean? It's like when you go for, but like, the underachiever.
It's like,
you know, the underdog.
He caught the fish.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I'd be totally, like, if he were to get a huge project, I would be like, yes, finally, awesome. That's legitimate. That's awesome. But then the other projects that he mentioned and the other fibs that he said, I don't know. It makes it rough to determine what's real and what's in his head.
And that's the one thing about, like, I guess our business. Even though we all do comics and we're all doing this, it is still the entertainment circle in a way. Yeah. And I feel that, like, that's just how that circle is there's so much just, like, I guess just
putting,
there's so many
putting
stories.
Each other over.
Yeah, there's so many putting each other, going to business for yourself, I guess we can break it down.
Yeah.
But it's entertaining, but you just don't know because people are using names as leverage and stuff like that.
It's like that everywhere, though. Any sort of business. Yeah. You know, if there's a famous person, there's people out there who just want to ride the coattails, you know?
Yeah.
And it's, wow, you know, I ran into Matt, and he's so awesome, and he's the best thing. And I'm like, dude.
I mean, that's why you're on the show today, man.
Exactly.
We're like, we got Matt before here.
Jeez. This isn't even the real Matt.
I know, right?
It's some guy you hired.
But we're using the name.
But you get to say that it's Matt. Yeah.
Because I think that's how we're going to title the show. It's like we got our first big name.
Like, exactly. Even name drop, like, okay, I really saw Paul Rudd from across the street when he was filming in D.C. I could totally take
that.
But I could totally take that.
You took
and
photos,
be like,
though, right?
I took a photo of my phone.
But you didn't twit pic it, so, it doesn't count.
But, like, someone could take that and be like, oh, man, I hung out with him that night. You know, like, be like, he was with me for, like, an hour.
Yeah.
You know, whereas, like, I was literally across the street for an hour looking at him being filmed.
I mean, do you guys know anyone that's basically claimed they've hung out with so-called a famous person and, you know, they're just flat-out lying?
You know what? Here's something a few years back that I did that
I guess not counting Ritesh.
Yeah, exactly. I know a few pro wrestlers. And I tell people I hung out with this person, but in reality, I was in the VIP lounge with his boys while he was hitting on someone. So
what?
So it was Pharrell of the Neptunes of
But he's from Virginia, so it could be a possibility.
Actually, it was in D.C. It was at a Club Love, back when it was Club Love. So somehow one of my friends got me into this VIP area, which I'm sure normal people have to pay a lot of money for, but this girl didn't. And so I'm back there, and he's supposed to show up and everything, and he doesn't. So then she leaves, and her friends leave and everything, and I'm like, screw this. This is a bar right here. I can get drinks whenever I want. Don't have to stand in line. I'm staying right here, right? So it's like 2 a.m., and he and I guess they call it a posse. They all...
Or his entourage.
That would have been better. Oh, I'm so lame.
Posse sounds better than entourage anyway.
Posse makes me think he's got revolvers.
Isn't that what you want people to think, though?
Yeah, I guess so. Do they use
Either
revolvers
one works.
Anymore? Yeah, okay. So anyways, yeah. So so he walks into the room and everything, and everyone's like, whoa. And I'm just like the funny white kid, funny-looking white kid, rather. And I'm just like, yeah. I'm like bouncing to the music kind of like now. And
I'm assuming that you're taller than him, too.
You know what? He's like a 6-foot guy from what I remember.
Oh, he totally doesn't look 6 foot.
But here's the thing, because I can't remember it very well. Because
he was on stilts.
No, he started sitting on a table. That tricks you. So in this VIP little lounge thing, and maybe I was a little drunk, but I swear they had like a kitchen set up. And I swear to God, they had an oven.
Club Love has a kitchen.
Was this a dream?
This does not sound real, right? So I'm just standing there, and they've got like this little area roped off, and then it's like his boys who are just like bouncing up and down, you know, doing the rap video thing. And then I'm just like, I guess I looked like so desperate that one of their boys was like, yeah, dude, over here. And I was like,
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, come over here. Well, it was like, yeah, come over here. You know, because it's not like,
everyone's all like, you mean me?
Like, yeah, no, come on.
It's like, no, the other guy, No, oh, him.
Yeah, it was like Night at the Roxbury.
Him, me?
Yeah.
Him, me?
And then, so I go back there, and I just start, like, hanging out with them. And then, of course, what happens after, like, 15 minutes is we were dropped off there, and then our buddy's little brother was the one who was driving.
Yeah.
He was under 21, so he couldn't get in. So he's just sitting outside with his car, and he'd waited apparently too long, so we had to wrap it up. But, but yeah, like, that was my experience with the celebrity. And so I had a few...
Did you talk to him?
No, I didn't talk to
you. You were breathing his air.
But, exactly. And what I tell people is like, yeah, you know, I hung out with Pharrell one time. And it's like...
That's true, though.
I did, but I didn't.
But he didn't know you were around.
You did, but he wouldn't remember you.
Exactly. And
that's, you know...
You know, I took a group picture, and I looked at halfway. The picture a little bit later, and I could point out, like, some rappers that aren't very popular, but I knew because I... bought one of the albums that the rappers were on, and it was Pharrell's album. It was what, Return of the Clones, I think, Neptunes Present.
Oh, yes.
And yeah, so I could point out a few of them, and I was like, oh, so I hung out with these people who still haven't made it. So I just say, I hung out with Pharrell, you know, and that's yeah.
Until one of them breaks out.
Exactly. And then we make a comic together.
There you go.
Yeah, that's the next thing.
Isn't he into comics too? Or a little
bit?
He has to be, man. I think he has,
like,
a connection.
Any star who's big with pop culture and everything, I feel like right now they have to say they like or enjoy comics, you know?
Or superheroes, at least.
Yeah, I think comics are kind of in, you know?
Yeah.
What do you feel about that anyway, with the comic books being in? Because how have you been? I'm assuming that you were into comics before it was in. You just liked them anyway.
You know, I had a hiatus, and I'm not going to lie. And that hiatus was the day I graduated eighth grade until probably my first junior year of college.
That's a long time, man.
It was. And, like, I'd browse through every now and then. I kind of knew, like, Age of Apocalypse was going on and stuff. But I didn't really, like, I couldn't hold my own in a talk, you know? I just knew some of the old creators, like, my favorites who were still around, you know, Jim Lee, Jay Lee, you know.
And Jay Lee's from Virginia, too, right? Yeah.
Is he?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Isn't like, Joe Chen? Joe Chen's from around here, too.
Really?
Well. Yeah.
It sounds like you hung out with him.
Just little talks. Whenever you go to, like, any one of those shows, there's always a lot of people that are like, yeah, I hung out with Jay Lee, they're from around here, or Joe Chen's from over in this area.
Yeah, you know, and that's the thing. Like, I know you guys went back home after this past con. You guys went back home to get some stuff or whatever, regroup,
because it's such a short drive.
Yeah, you know, but everyone goes to the bars and stuff afterwards, and
in Charlotte, we hung out with them.
Okay, yeah.
So the after party and stuff like that.
And now, like, what happens there? Because...
Oh, man. Did we even talk about what happened in Charlotte, like, on the radio show?
I don't think so.
Well, here we go.
We almost hung out with, like, it was crazy.
Wait, hold on. All
right.
Before you go any
almost
further.
Almost hung out with everybody.
I love... We almost hung out with everyone.
Well, because the situation is like this. So, Is that the book, the store, Heroes
Aren't Hard to Find?
Heroes Aren't Hard to Find. So, you have You have the...
Charlotte.
Was it Heroes Con, right?
Yeah.
Heroes Con. And then they have, like, an after party there. This is where all the artists are.
It's like, called the Dead Dog Party.
Yeah, the Dead Dog Party. Dead like, dog anyone who's party. Exhibiting or was there can hang out at the party.
Okay.
And it's like...
You've got to, like, flash a badge or something.
I don't know.
I don't think they really checked it.
Oh, okay.
So we were there, and they're like, oh, they had free pizza and food. They're like, of course we're going
to
be there.
Actually, it was one of those things that they kind of just only announced to, like, the exhibitors. So average... convention goer wouldn't necessarily know about
it. It's
anyway.
Just word of mouth.
Yeah.
Kind of, yeah.
And one of the amazing things is you wouldn't know who these, like, if you don't know how, like, Darwin Cook looks like, you wouldn't be able to be like, oh, that's Darwin Cook.
It's just another nerd.
Yeah.
You know?
But going to this, like,
I'm sure he'll appreciate that.
Oh, yeah. Okay. We've got bigger fish to fry. If Ben hears this,
Ben's
going
to
be more excited.
Ben's going to be awesome that I talked about him on the show anyway.
Darwin, not so upset.
But pretty much, so we're there with the Dollar Bin, which is like an awesome, like the dollarbin.net.
Okay.
Like those guys are really cool. They've always treated us really well, helped promoting our stuff. So we're sitting there and we're talking about wrestling of all things, like at the table, like hardcore talking about, not just like
in the rain.
Yeah, it started to rain.
But so basically, this was outside.
No, yeah.
But there's like a tent covering it, but we're still like right near the rain.
Yeah, it started to rain. But basically, what happens? So we're sitting there and we're talking about wrestling, right? And
do you remember any of the topics covered? Yeah.
Like, we talked about all of it. Oh, okay. Like, all a real it. Talk about wrestling. Not yeah. like, oh, yeah, I liked Hogan back in the day. Yeah, yeah. And I have to, like, sort of, you know, pull at strings.
Yeah.
But this one's just, like, yeah. recent stuff, like TNA and what's happening. And they're all like, right. and also you're in North Carolina, so they're going to know the Hardys and stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah.
But basically...
Because they probably bought drugs from them.
Yeah. yeah. But basically, you're at, like, a food line, right?
Yeah.
You know, and, like, you look around, and you're like, hey, that's Adam Hughes next to me. Holy crap, this is Darwin Cook. Oh, this is Cliff Chang. Like, that's actually our first, the first time we hung out specifically with Cliff Chang.
That is
because we were at like a table, like uh-huh. four of us were eating like at the table, and you know, we're surrounded by other awesome artists, yeah. and we're not just gonna stop and be like, I'm a huge
fan. Of course,
fan.
Yeah, exactly.
Because this is not the place exactly. to be like, I'm a huge yeah. fan. But all of a sudden we're like, Cliff Chang is like, hey, what's going on? And he comes and sits down. I guess he had no place to go. And I was like, dude, man, you're like the Bruce Lee of comics, dude. And like, I started talking to him about
just
like
gushing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it was like more or less I wanted to talk to him about the panel that he was on, because on the panel that he was on was, I think it was either like working with writers or something like that.
Oh, okay.
And it was him, Darwin Cook, Matt Fraction. It was like something about the teamwork of it.
Yeah.
And Jimmy Palmiotti. And then, like, to me, like, I asked Cliff, I was like, how come you didn't talk, man? Like, you know, everyone was talking, but you didn't get a chance. He's like, man, what am I supposed to do? I'm surrounded by all these greats. So it's crazy to see, like, yeah. a person that we admire oh, as yeah. well, but then he's sitting next to, like, other greats.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And
yeah.
So that was a cool perspective.
You know, speaking of that, it's funny, I follow Mike Choi on Twitter, and no offense to Mike Choi, but he, I don't think he realizes, the status that he carries. So yeah. he'll tweet about, you know, I got hot wings yesterday and pooped or something. And you're like, dude. But he's like,
then I signed it.
Yeah, exactly. And then I uploaded
Anyone
it.
Anyone want to buy it on eBay?
Yeah. You know, he's like an annually ranked top 10 wizard artist, you know?
Yeah.
And he sees someone's work and he just, he'll gush about it, you know, yeah. on Twitter or Francis Lionel Yu, another one.
Yeah, dude.
I think
Filipino.
Either he, you guys, crazy. I think either it was on Facebook or Twitter, and he was talking about someone else's work, and this isn't, you know, I hung out with him,
yeah.
but I tweeted to him. I was like, oh, you know,
he tweeted him
exactly. You know. I had awesome, replied man. To him, you know, oh, because he said something like, I can't believe so-and-so is so good, and I wish I drew like him. And yeah. then I at replied, I was like, you know, wow, so you think the same thing? And he's like, yep. Or I was like, even you think the same? And he's like, yep, even me. You
yeah.
know? And it's like these people can be completely humbled by someone else's stuff. Because
yeah.
they've been doing their style and kind of, I feel like it's harder for them to evolve because fans will expect that style
yeah.
in everything, you know, and it's easier for them to be recognized if the same style is reproduced over and over and over.
And I think that's actually one thing why, like, I enjoy working with Carolyn as the illustrator on this book is because I can't draw like Carolyn,
mm-hmm.
you know, and like, I can't do what she does like on with using like a pen,
because
mm-hmm. my style is like so very like sketchy mm-hmm. in a way, and that's, you know, that's
a conversation that Joe and I have had many times, is that a lot of artists that are super technical and highly detailed,
yeah.
they'll admire a line that's so clean and simple,
just, yeah.
and then vice versa, like the really simple
like
person will be like,
very...
oh, I wish I could draw all intensive like this person.
You're talking like tight versus loose?
Yeah.
Or
even just like, I don't know, like even Kenneth Rocafort's style. Like
yeah.
when I look at that, I'm like, oh my gosh, it's so detailed, but it's stylistic.
Yeah. It's...
I'm like, I wish I could do that, but then I totally don't draw like that. Not to be against myself,
right,
but
right.
it's like, it's just it's a totally different style.
You know, with like Kenneth Rocafort, I wish I could think like him.
Yeah.
It's
yeah,
not
yeah.
even the drawing.
Well, tell me why.
You're like,
why do you
want
to think like,
you know,
like,
if you look at some of his drawings, in the shading there's this texturing, there's this,
because does he do like digital inks or what's going on with that? So I totally forget if he does.
You know
that.
What? From what I see, he does what's that called? What is it, like color flow or line flow or
yeah.
Where you color, you don't even ink it, you just kinda scan it in, up the contrast, and then you can color digitally, obviously, the pencils.
Yeah.
You know? And he'll do like, instead of using a black all the time for the pencils, he'll do like an orange or something like that, which I've noticed a lot of artists have started doing.
Yeah, it's good to see like a change.
Yeah,
because that is something that's coming up. It's like you don't have to make it a black line anymore.
You know, now I've noticed, especially with like Lionel Yu, Kenneth Rockefort, a lot of artists are utilizing the fact that printing is so good now, scanning is so good now. You don't need to ink.
Yeah,
you know, you can use that pencil, and I think. I don't know how you guys feel, but as a fan, I personally like pencils over inks. You know?
I mean, I'm a huge fan of that, but I'm also a huge fan of basically the overall just like atmosphere of the whole piece in general.
Yeah,
and it's I like pen over ink, but also I like it when someone's stretching the medium.
Yeah,
it's like, oh, we don't have to do it like this now.
Yeah.
I'm like, cool. That's
yeah.
And at the end of the day, like pencils better than inks.
No, I mean, I can't like choose either one. As long as it fits, as long as there's a vision towards it, as long as it's not a mistake.
The problem I have is there's so many, and I guess you can say this about artists too, and maybe it's a little subjective, but there's so many bad inkers who use too thick of a line when inking someone else's stuff, who might just use like a 0.5 mechanical pencil or something,
yeah.
You know, and these guys are using like these real thick ink. quills, and it just completely takes away from the art.
And that's what you see, like a lot of like the inkers will go with, you know, it's a team now.
Yeah.
Instead of just like, oh yeah, this other person's gonna ink it. It's like, well, yeah. I feel like the penciler and the basically it is like the triad of that. You know, it has to be. And then at the end, it's gonna be what's his name coloring.
Dave Stewart
coloring. Yeah. And at the end of the day, it always has to be Dave Stewart coloring.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I think there's some work that benefits so much from inking, and some work that just completely the inking detracts from it, you know?
And I think it has to be, and you see a lot of guys, like, even when you go to Jeff Smith, where it's like, he can only ink his stuff.
Yeah.
Because he's the one that can see it.
Yeah.
Like, even I see when Cameron was working on the book recently, she's like, I'm so tired of just doing the pencils, I just want to go and ink it.
Right, right.
Yeah. And the way Frank Miller says the drawing is in the inking.
Yeah, because, okay, yeah, yeah.
Because the way you see Frank Miller's process, everything's so crazy and sketchy already, and he just goes in and just attacks it with black.
Frank Miller, yeah, I feel like he doesn't even use the pencil. You know, he just hits it with all these blacks and everything.
And I think that's probably, I mean, what do you guys think? Is this inking, do you ink your own work, right, or have
you? Yeah,
like, to me, I almost feel like that is where the fun is, because you get right to it in a way, you know, and it's, there's that risk of messing up. And there's also that fun of, like, messing up. And there's also, like, there's that point where you're like, I can actually do whatever I want right now.
Yeah.
I have the skeleton.
Yeah.
But, like, I can...
As far as the thickness of the ink now, I think that's a popular style.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of like Powerpuff Girls, how it's really thick force field around everything. Mm-hmm. I feel
I'm not even talking
maybe
about
that's
that.
Been even, like, since the past 10 years. I just think that that's a whole modern look.
Yeah. See, and it works on, like, you know, you use Powerpuff Girls. Yeah. Powderpuff Girls. And, like, even thinking about, like, Scotty Young's New Oz series.
Yeah.
Know? Like, he's got some pretty good things.
Was he at Baltimore?
He was at New York. I think he was at New York, though.
Jeez.
Probably New York,
I need to,
yeah.
Like... I need to get him to sign my books.
Yeah, exactly.
And that really is—it really is a popular style. That strong, like that strong, almost like what do you call it? Like force field line.
But like, I wouldn't put that on like Brian Hitch's stuff or David Finch's stuff.
Yeah.
You know.
But I have seen you see J. Scott Campbell and Jim Lee even utilizing that now. And another thing we were talking about—people who admire other people's work—is that like when an interesting story I always thought was when Jim Lee was doing the Homage Studios, like Wildstorm, their first like artist like audition call, and they got J. Scott Campbell out of that, and then so J. Scott Campbell's Jim Lee became his mentor, but then if you notice later on, Jim Lee started to take from J. Scott Campbell, like because And that I thought was interesting, yeah, too. It's like, now they both sort of, like, they learn and admire from each other, because then you see J. Scott Campbell taking his Disney sort of Jim Lee, yeah, style, and then you see Jim Lee taking from his Disney making girls cute style.
You know, and that's funny, because I'd only been familiar with the J. Scott Campbell stuff of the last, like, 2 years or so, probably nothing further than that. I knew he did Danger Girls, but I knew Danger Girls was out there. Yeah. I didn't draw a line between them. And getting the two sketchbooks this weekend, which one was filled with his 2009 stuff, the other one was actually a gracious gift from him to me.
That was the best gift ever, man.
It was very nice. But that was a Danger Girls sketchbook. And looking at both of them, he had this very animator-esque, yeah, style in, I guess that was the late 90s, 2000s.
And you should definitely take a look at, like, even he's evolved from, because, you know, he did Gen 13. He created Gen 13 before that.
J. Scott Campbell.
Yeah. And, like,
I thought that was a Jim. Okay. All
but,
right.
Yeah, it was, wow, like, it was him and the same team that made, yeah, Danger Girl. Yeah. And his style was even, it was more, it wasn't as exaggerated as it is today.
Right. Yeah.
But it's great to see the change, because you can see it for per issue.
You know, and with Gen 13, I didn't see the same type of, I don't want to use, like, cliched words, but, like, gusto.
I don't even know what that means, man.
Either do I. I just said it.
Gusto!
It goes great on some spaghettis. But I didn't want to, like, from looking at Gen 13 and Danger Girl, there was a difference to me, you know. Like, Danger Girl seems to be a little bit, or Danger Girls seems to be more, wait, girl.
Girl!
It seems to be a little bit more exaggerated. Yeah. Maybe that was the sketchbook that I was looking at, but
But even the work was exaggerated, yeah, too, because he was, you know, he was going for it, basically.
Yeah.
And that's what became of today's, because now, like, even when he was doing Gen 13, the waist wasn't as small, yeah, you know what I mean? And the, yeah, legs weren't as, you know, he was just like, In a way, if you think about it, I bet if he draws like that, it's easier, as opposed to trying to make it look perfect.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
Although now, like, if you look at his new stuff that he's done in the 2009 sketchbook, or if anyone's seen his live draws from Twitter,
do you follow him on Twitter?
I do follow him on Twitter.
Wait, J. Scott Campbell's on Twitter?
J. Scott, yeah, Campbell is on Twitter, and he does live draws.
Wow, I should look him up right now.
Scotty Young also does live draws. Both fans of the live draw. But if you look at that stuff, it looks like he's actively tried to maybe not learn or draw, because I know he already knows it, but draw perfect anatomy. But he's putting, you know, the curves and lines in the right places.
Yeah.
Like
there has to be a logic to at least the, like, exactly, the anatomy, but it doesn't need to be muscle per muscle.
Yeah. If it wasn't so elongated, it'd be, like, perfect. Like, you could put this into Photoshop and squash it a little bit,
yeah,
and you'd be like, oh, this is perfect anatomy.
I mean, I think that's what I find that was, like, really frustrating with drawing, because, like, I've always wanted to be a comic book penciler.
Yeah.
Like, that was one of my first things, like first jobs I ever wanted to be from the moment, like, I started watching Batman animated series in, like, fourth grade.
Oh, yeah.
And then, like, until, like, eighth grade.
Yeah.
And then after that, I was just like, man, I'm just not as good. Because I think one of the things that was trapped in my brain was it has to be perfect.
Exactly.
And I couldn't escape that. And I was taking, exactly, like, basic tech drawing and all that stuff. And I couldn't, like, escape, like, this has to be, like, you know, perfect.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's, it's just, I think that's something that is difficult for every artist to escape.
You, yeah,
know? Especially, like, I don't know. This probably happened with you, Carolyn. You probably go through this too, but you'll see something that you really like, and this artist who's so fresh and just blows your mind, and then you're like, maybe I should draw like that.
You know, yeah,
maybe my line isn't right this way. It's right that way.
Who are like the other artists that you admire that you can say that, like, oh, like, you growing up and you're like, I was a huge fan of that, but now it's sort of different because you're coming into your own.
You know, growing up, I think there was this special affinity because I was so terrified.
As in the book Infinity?
Affinity Gauntlet. there's this affinity for And let me preface this with, because I, you know, like I said, I was pretty terrified of his work, and this was on his X-Force run, but Jay Lee, I was really, his stuff was so dark and bulky and so many shadows, and the
his,
way
that, it's always, he's almost like it came from the swamp or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, like
know?
The way that he would draw a face that's completely enthralled in black, and then you've got these teeth that are there, and then these two whites of the eyes, and that just terrified the crap out of me. But now, you know, I look at his stuff, and I kind of wish he did that. You know, the stuff from the stuff that I can remember,
like way back in the day, his old like when he was fearless, or when he was just trying it out. Like
yeah, like he just seemed to be fearless with his brush. You weren't talking about a title name, right?
No.
Okay. Fearless with his brush, and it was on
Fearless with his brush. Thanksgiving.
Exactly.
2009 from.
Yeah. You know, and it was the Executioner song run on X-Men from obviously from Marvel, and of course it crossed over onto, you know, any X title.
It said the hologram on it, right?
Yeah. The first one had a hologram on it, and then after that, it was I think it was a 3-month long run, just this summer story that it was X-Force, Uncanny X-Men, X-Factor. Yeah, it was you know, all four of those books had 3 issues. And
Carolyn, have you seen Jay Lee's work?
It was great.
Maybe.
Dark Tower is the most recent stuff that he's done.
Because he does he used to do Inhumans.
Yeah, Inhumans.
He does really amazing. Like, is that brushwork? You think he works with a brush, Jay Lee?
You know, I can't even start to speculate. I think back in the day he did, and I think you look at like Jim Lee's stuff now, the sketches that he does.
Yeah, like his thick line sketch.
Exactly.
That stuff I absolutely love.
And now he loves the whiteout pen.
Yeah,
it's
I think that's a lot of people are really enjoying that whiteout pen.
Yeah,
it's love the hell out of that pen.
I think someone took a trip to Japan in the late 90s and then
and
brought,
like they
back
brought it
all
back.
These
like, holy shit,
gel
you can
pens.
Use the wet pens. Like,
yeah.
That shit, same shit we can get at CVS.
Exactly. The same stuff that my 12-year-old daughter uses for Valentine's? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, let's do it.
There's an artist that I really love. I don't even know what he's doing right now. I think it's like the blonde bimbo, but Sam Keith.
Sam Keith,
yeah.
I do not know that name.
See, that's a guy that was, like, to me, if there's any person that was pushing the limits in the 90s,
yeah.
He created the Max series.
Yeah.
Not, like, the Marvel Max series,
the
purple
big
guy.
The guy with the small head, right?
Yeah. That, to me, was his work, to me, now is David Mack's work today. Like the impression, not the style of work, but the feeling.
Yeah.
But his is more, imagine taking David Mack's sort of fine artistry and taking this to like an overly cartoony weird world. And that's what I find really awesome.
You know what's funny? Bringing up David Mack, and I was looking through some of his stuff, and
let's talk about that, Matt.
First of all, wow, Caroline, did you get a chance to look at?
Yes.
Was that Baltimore Comic Con? Was this the first time you met him too?
Yeah, and looking through his stuff, I made an
Can you
Baltimore
describe it for people who don't know?
First of all,
describe the scene.
Let me get something.
Me.
I have an embarrassing.
Oh, we're gonna make a lot of noise for a second. All right, that's just my fault.
Yeah, I'm looking at it. The people at home are not. sorry about that. I like doing voices into this. Never mind. Sorry.
All right, back to David Mack.
Yeah. So I seem to have an embarrassing story every year about identity, mistaken identities, I guess. I said mistaken. Mistaken instead of mistaken.
It doesn't matter. Not the grammar police here. We make up words.
That's right. So before it was James Jean, and I made fun of one of his drawings. And
oh my god, I want to hear after this. You gotta tell that one. That's an illustrious story.
That's because first of all,
let me just tell it now.
Yeah, let's just tell it now. All right.
Okay. Well,
what year is this? 2008. This Baltimore Comic Con. Matt's first Baltimore Comic Con.
2007.
2007.
2007.
He hasn't been back since.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
So this is Baltimore Comic.
I've heard a rumor that he doesn't like conventions.
Baltimore Comic Con 2007. Matt, is this your first Baltimore Comic Con?
This is my first Comic-Con.
Okay, here we go.
Yeah, so I'm with three friends. One of them, very knowledgeable that James Jean, or the last name Jean, can actually be used for Asian people.
Yeah, that blew my mind too.
Yeah, myself, not so much. I'm like, Paul Pope's friend, that's got to be James Jean, because can't be this little Asian guy who's probably just selling
with like the bowl haircut.
Exactly, you know? Because I think like Stuart Ng was there too, and Stuart Ng, I know, sells sketchbooks a lot, you know, and you've got this little Asian fellow sitting in front of sketches and sketchbooks, and I'm just thinking that maybe that's Stuart Ng, you know, or a representative from Ad House Books who they were with.
Yeah.
So I walk up.
Because they're not wearing name tags.
Exactly, they're not. You know,
we're just supposed to expect it to.
Exactly. They're too good for name tags.
Yeah.
Whereas Artist Alley, you know, you're trying to get like six name tags so everyone can see it.
And that's the only way you can get in.
Yeah, you know, yeah, exactly. That's the free ticket. So I'm looking through his sketches and, okay, I...
Now, James Jean, you know, he does Fables, he does...
He does a.
What else did he do?
He did some covers for the Umbrella Academy.
Yeah, Umbrella Academy.
He's worked for Nike. He's worked for any basically. Okay, so for me, all illustrators have the same resume. It's Nike. It's Sports Illustrated or ESPN the magazine.
Yeah.
It's Time, and then it's Playboy.
Okay.
All illustrators have done that, or else they're not.
They're not a name at that point.
Yeah. Exactly. At that point, yeah. That's perfect. I don't offend anyone that way.
Hey, I'm an illustrator that hasn't done Time magazine yet.
Exactly. I've looked at those magazines before.
I've never touched one.
So you're at the table looking through his artwork with your friends.
With my friends, yeah. Sorry, I have a penchant for going on a tangent.
That's my job, is to bring it back.
Yeah,
I bring it back.
So I'm looking at his sketches, and by the way, this guy's also done, he designed the wallpaper for Prada, which doesn't mean anything to me, but means a lot to my girlfriend and purses, whatever. Whoever buys real purses, I don't know. Anyways, so I'm looking through these sketches, and I come across and I remember the one, and it was on his website. At least a year ago, it was a sketch of the NFL football player, plays for the Chargers, LaDainian Tomlinson. And me being a football fan all of my life, and an art fan my whole life, but a comic fan, you know, I just got back into it. I wasn't familiar with Fables and all of his work, so I'm literally judging this man off of one sketch. And my buddy is all about him. He's like, oh my god, James Jean's here, he's probably
look how smooth his line is.
Exactly. You know, he's the most important name in comics
and
for
so
the
many
last pe- 20 years.
And so
know.
Many people get tattoos of James Jean's.
Right. People wear his stuff on their skin.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I feel like that's what the hipsters in Brooklyn are doing right now.
They're all in tattoo parlors.
Did you get the newest James Jean?
Yeah.
I got on my thigh.
You know? Yeah. You know,
like, they like it so much it's on their inner thigh.
And then put two black stars on my tricep. And it's like, what, dude?
As long as it's not a tattoo around your belly button like Batista.
The male tramp stamp.
That is just not pretty. Wow.
So you're looking at this one image, right?
So I'm looking at the sketch, and I happen to be very blunt and just say, eh. I guess it's not even blunt, but dismissive. Eh. Not that good.
I could do that.
Exactly.
And I wish you would have said, like, this sucks.
I think I even said something like, I don't know what everyone's talking about.
Oh.
Meanwhile, this small Asian man I'm assuming doesn't speak English. So he's just sitting there
he's
and
so
kind
crushed.
Of smirks. And I just kind of the hell's he looking at? And and we walked away so I could see Paul Pope's work, which, by the way, Paul Pope is not a bad artist. I'm not implying he is, but James Jean is an amazing artist. And and now going back to that, I would have liked to have gotten maybe an hour of looking at Paul Pope stuff back, so I could have spent an hour attempting to steal James Jean stuff. it just, yeah, I felt like a jerk there.
So he did a little smirk to you?
You know what? And I think I made that up in my head, but from now on, I will remember.
Add that to the
smirk.
To the story.
Exactly.
Just Matt, just so you know, he hasn't been back since.
Yeah, yeah.
See,
I know.
What if Matt, you really did? What if you did like impact his life? Like, what if like at that point of his life, he's like, my work isn't like as good. I'm about to quit. And then all of a sudden, you get that, and then he's you lit a fire in him.
It's funny that you say that, because at that point, he got up to maybe I think he was at 51 or 52 covers of Fables. If you look at 53 through, I guess he ended on 82, I think. If you look at 53 through 82, that work is a lot better than...
he's like, I'm going to show that guy!
Than 1 through 52.
I'm going to show him!
Yeah, I mean...
Actually, you know what, though? Like, thing is that you said... I remember when you told the story, I asked if you were wearing your name tag, and you said no. So
no,
luckily...
No, I did not have
that. Luckily, he, like, no, didn't look over and memorize that name and, like, put you on the blacklist forever.
Exactly.
So to him... You know, he doesn't know who you are. You're just a dude.
Exactly.
So, you know. But like, even still, if he was in a mood, like, let's say, you know, he probably can get moods where he's like, damn, that's a good art I made, you know, and then he's probably like happy about it, right?
Yeah.
But then, like, as an artist, I just feel like there are moments that every artist have, no matter, even if you're like the greatest thing ever. James Jean and
so we're just assuming that James Jean is the greatest ever.
No, no, but he, you know, like, he does good. There's no denying he's like
he's okay.
Not talented, you know. Anyway, so even if you're super talented like James Jean, you know, he's got to have a moment every now and then where he probably is like, man, I don't know if I'm as good as Paul Pope. Or like, or if
I don't know,
well,
I'm
probably
as good
not as Paul
Pope.
That probably never comes out of his mouth.
Or if he's like sees someone else has a bigger line at that time, and he's like, man, that guy has like a line that's 2 hours and my line is like 1 minute.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Because I went up there and it only took me 1 minute to see James Jean.
I tell you what, there is no one in line for him.
Yeah.
Well, maybe it's because the same reason why you didn't know that's how he looked like. Because, you know, when I thought James Jean, I didn't know that was the Asian guy. Like, really.
His line
is not
had,
Chang or something
and,
like that.
You know, and nothing to diminish him. I'm just saying his line was very small versus, like, someone else you could look over across the way. If he wanted to in his head, he could mess himself up and be like, man, that guy has a two-hour line. I have nobody here.
I mean,
I'm just sitting here. You know, like, and then at that moment you say that to him and he overhears that. You know, like, I'm saying that could affect you. It's not like you can just roll that,
What if he goes home that night and attempts to overdose on pills, and I killed James Jean?
Oh my god.
That would have...
No, see, I don't blame you on suicide, though. You can't blame someone for
suicide. Yeah, but it's still like... But it's still the fact of the... like, at that time period, though. It's like, if he was in a... What if he was... You know, if he happened to have, like, an okay day, be like, oh...
Matt
that,
killed
and
James
then,
Jean.
And then, like, and then he just rolls it off. He's just like, whatever, that dude doesn't know what he's talking about. Because, you know, he's already proud of something.
Exactly.
But let's say, like, what if he was in a mood where he was, like, all being down on himself, and...
What
that's,
if,
and that's why he has never come back to Baltimore.
Exactly.
Does he do any other conventions? Is that the last?
No.
That was the last convention he went
to.
To
Paris and Milan.
Oh, that's
and,
right. He's hanging out with all the big ups.
Yeah. You know, so
no, I mean, I don't think you, like, caused him to be suicidal or anything. But
no,
I'm just saying, like, you know, I still feel like that it would affect,
I completely
something.
Think I've affected him to a point that he might never recover.
I hope so, man. But I hope that you a single person has that much power over another person.
I think right now we're seeing second tier James Jean art.
See? Because you improved him, though.
You know what? That's right. So I'm going to retract my former statement about those covers being better. And I'm going to say they could have been much better if I never said anything.
Either way, like, I'm a fan of his art. Like, I think his art is amazing. But I just never... I want to see him tell a story. And that's the only... because there's something about just doing covers.
His covers
Whoops.
Way to break the transmogrifier. I think covers can definitely say a lot, though. You know?
Oh, yeah.
But there are some people that, like, their whole goal is to only do covers.
Yeah. Look at, well, I guess now he's broken into Interiors, but that guy, Darko Dijerdjevic.
How am I supposed to know who that is, man?
Yeah, no, he did some Daredevil covers, but now he's doing Interiors, and he's a really skilled penciler, but,
I think of James Jean more as an illustrator than a comic book artist.
And I think that's why he stopped doing Fables, because he was ready to do shows and stuff like that, and probably realized he can get a lot more money from idiot... let me put it this way. The high art world is just like the fanboy world, except the high art world is willing to pay millions for these paintings that I'm sure are the same size as his covers.
Yeah.
Whereas the fanboy is willing to pay thousands.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not saying he's doing it for money, but you know, with that high art world comes, I don't know, caviar. What comes from the high art world?
Go travel. Limousine. Travel. Yeah. Yeah. He's been travel.
Bitches and hoes. You know?
Yeah. I don't blame him. I mean, that's a nice life.
Yeah, and I think he's gonna make it just fine.
He'll be okay. I think. Yeah. That's 2 years from now. I mean, 2 years ago. He's all right.
You know, well, he dropped Fables in October of last year, and now it seems like he's doing a bunch of shows and stuff.
You might have, I think you might have saved his life, Matt. Actually, I believe that you saved his life. You're a hero.
You're a savior.
You saved James Jeans's life.
You know, I was telling Carolyn before we went on. I'm responsible for James Jean's life, but I think I'm responsible for your failures, because any failure that you've ever do you accomplish failures
Maybe.
Anyway any failure that you've ever accomplished in your life has been from me, and I'm just gonna say that right
and
now.
That's how we're gonna end the show today.
Okay, all right,
but we'll be back.
Yeah, okay.
But thanks for being on the show today, Matt.
Well, thank you very much.
My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
Hey, we'll catch you next week.